Or dead. Looking down at his penis as he stood at the urinal, Shy muttered, "See the trouble you got me into." At Misawa Air Force Base, Major Hank Wilson glared red-faced and fire-eyed at one of his oldest friends, Major Joe Duggan. Like Wilson, Duggan was squat and burly, built like an old-fashioned fire plug.
"In 1 hour," Duggan squawked. "Are you nuts, Hank?"
"In 1 hour," Wilson said, his voice murderously low. "I want that frickin' tanker out of here within 60 minutes after it lands." The two men had known each other since their Air Force Academy days. Now they were rushing, sprinting almost, across the tarmac toward the base maintenance depot.
"Can't be done, Hank," said Duggan, puffing slightly from the unaccustomed exertion. "My guys will need—"
Wilson stopped suddenly, and Duggan trotted several steps before stopping and turning around to face his old friend. The sky above the airfield was turning gray, but the only thundercloud Duggan could see was Wilson's slab-jawed face. Looking around to make certain that no one was within earshot, Wilson lowered his voice a notch and explained,
"Joe, I got a message straight from the frickin' White House. The National Security Advisor signed the order personally. Absolute top priority. That don't mean—"
"What it means is that we gotta get that tanker back in the air 1 hour after it lands, or quicker. That's what it means.
But we don't even know what's wrong with its engine.
Get another engine on the flight line. Swap it out.
That's crazy. We can't—"
"The hell you can't. I want a crew ready to swap out the engine as soon as that tanker rolls up to the apron." Duggan looked as if he'd just swallowed a dose of rancid cod liver oil. He glanced up at the sky.
"It's gonna rain," he grumbled.
"Clear out a hangar and roll the bird into it.
Hank, this is crazy and you know it."
"Yeah, yeah. But get it done." San Francisco International Airport. Sylvia tried to keep her terror hidden from the girls. She had never flown in a plane this small. Commercial airliners were so big that she never felt afraid. It was like sitting in a bus, really, especially if she had an aisle seat and didn't look out the windows. But this flimsy little thing was barely big enough for herself and her daughters. And the pilot. He was a good-looking older man, his short-trimmed hair silvery gray, and he had a sporty little mustache, the same attractive color. Sylvia was sitting in the right-hand seat, her daughters behind her. She couldn't help looking out the windshield at the mountains down below, and the ocean. What if the engines stop? She couldn't help wondering. We can't land on a mountainside, or in the water. We'll all die. The pilot kept up a friendly chatter, but she had stopped listening to his words as she sat rigidly and felt every bump and shudder that the plane went through. "There's nothing between us and those mountains but empty air," Sylvia realized. She fought down an urge to vomit.
"Uh-oh," said the pilot. "What's wrong?" Sylvia squeaked.
Tapping the bulbous earphone on the left side of his head, he said over the rumble of the plane's twin jet engines,
"Traffic control's ordered us to orbit the field."
"Orbit? In space?"
He laughed. "No. It just means they want us to ride around the airfield for a while."
"How long?"
"Until Air Force One lands." From behind them, Denise said,
"Air Force One? The president's plane?"
"Yep," said the pilot. Pointing past Sylvia's nose, he said, "There she is, right there." Sylvia saw a huge four-engine plane painted sky blue and white. It looked terribly close, she thought.